إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أزواجه وذرياته وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the lessons from the life of Ibrahim عليه السلام, which Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave us and showed us as one of the lives to be followed and as an example for us. And today I want to talk about the famous incident of his life where he was, where they attempted to burn him alive. And I remember still the story that I heard from my sheikh when I was at that time maybe about 10 years old. And the story that I heard was that when Ibrahim alayhi salam, when they wanted to burn him, they lighted this huge fire and they stoked it for days on end until it was massive and huge to the extent that they couldn't go near it themselves. So they brought in a siege engine, they brought in a what is known as a trebuchet or a catapult to launch him into the fire, because they couldn't go close to put him into the fire. And so they trussed him up and put him in the cup of the trebuchet and racked it up. And as they are about to cut the rope which would launch him in the air and throw him into the fire, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and said, "Ya Ibrahim, Ya Khalilullah, tell me, what can I do for you? Order me and I will help you in whichever way you like." And Ibrahim alayhi salam, the response is, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "Ask you? Why must I ask you? I do not ask anyone other than Allah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." The test of tawheed is not in praying two rakat of salah. The test of tawheed is when things get tough. And who, at that time, who do you make rujoo to? The test of tawheed is when we are faced with choices. On the face of it, there is a choice which seems very desirable and very, sweet. Do we take that or do we take what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the test of tawheed. So here, imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam is sitting in front of this huge fire. And of course, we know the fiqh of the matter, which is that if somebody personally comes and asks you, "Can I help you?" there is nothing wrong whatsoever in asking that person for help. It is not haram. Ibrahim alayhi salam is not going to somebody's qabr and praying on a grave. Jibreel alayhi salam is alive and well and in front of him. So if Jibreel alayhi salam comes and says, "Can I help you?" and Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "Do this for me or do that for me," there is absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever in doing that. But there are levels and there are levels. And the level of Khalilullah was that he said, "I ask only Allah, nobody else." So Jibreel alayhi salam then went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows real time whatever is happening. He does not need anyone to tell him. But whenever we hear these stories and these ahadith, and in the hadith also many times this kind of a narration has come where Rasulullah said, the malaika went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and told him such and such, and Allah asked this question, "What did my slave say?" And the malaika said this and this. Now all of that is not because Allah does not know. Allah knows what the slave said. Allah knew what the slave was going to say even before the slave himself knew that he was going to say that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the witness in order to establish a witness in favor of the slave on the day of judgment. So that's the reason for asking, not because Allah doesn't know. So Jibreel alayhi salam goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, "Ya Rabbal Alameen, your Khalil is about to be burnt. And I went and asked him, can I help you? And he refuses to ask me. He refuses to take my help. What can I do?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Go to him and tell him that I sent you. And that I want to know, what does he want from me?" Now see the test. See how a test, you pass one test and you go to the next class and that test is more difficult than the first one. So now Jibreel alayhi salam comes back and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me. I came to you earlier in my own capacity. Now I am coming to you as the Rasul of Allah. I am coming to you as somebody sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to know what is it you want from him. What can Allah do for you? And Ibrahim alayhi salam says, my Rabb does not need to ask. My Rabb does not need to ask. Now what does that mean? This is the essence of Rida bil Qada. What do I want? I want whatever my Rabb wants. If he wants me to burn, I am ready to burn. If he wants to save me, he does not need to ask me for that. Whatever he wants. This is the ultimate of Rida bil Qada. What do you want? I want whatever you want. We see the reflection of this in the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this dua that he made after Taif, after whatever happened in Taif. And what was his dua? He said, Ya Rab, if you are not pleased with me, then I will continue to work until you are pleased with me. If you are not pleased with me and the whole world is pleased with me, it makes no difference. But if you are pleased with me and the whole world is displeased with me, I don't care. And I will continue to work hatta tarda, until you are pleased. Until you are pleased. And his Rabb said to him, Wala sawfa yutika rabbuka fatarda. Tomorrow, meaning on the day of judgment, your Rabb will give you until you are pleased. He said, I will work until you are pleased, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on the day of judgment, I will give you until you are pleased. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, my Rabb does not need to ask. Now, as I told you, I heard this story the first time when I was maybe 10 or so. And in our day and age, the way we were brought up, we were not told that we should ask the ustad for the dalil of a story. Where did you get it from? This was against the adab. You don't ask these questions to your teachers. So, Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is the authenticity of the story. We are not extracting any hukam from it. So, I suggest don't get involved in whether it is sahih or whether it is zaif. But what supports this story is the ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what happened. Allah did not mention the story in the Quran, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what happened. And what did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fire. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. And my understanding of this is that when the slave, when the Khalilullah, when the Nabi of Allah refused to take the help of Asbab, and Jibreel was Asbab, when he refused to take the help of Asbab, his Rabb refused to use Asbab. His Rabb also dealt directly with the issue. And see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any normal reasoning will say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to save Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire, Allah could have done one of two things. He could have put out the fire, or he could have removed Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire. Meaning that perhaps as Ibrahim alayhi salam is being launched, Jibreel alayhi salam plucks him out of the air and flies off with him somewhere and he's safe from the fire. I mean, this is my logic tells me, these are the two, things that could be done. Allah could have sent, put the fire out in whichever way, or he would have done this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu wants to show that the sabab, the asbab, the means of this world have no power in themselves, except the power that their Rabb gives them. The means has, the fire has no power to burn. The fire has no power to burn, the water has no power to put out the fire. The means only do what their Rabb commands them to do. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fire. Allah did not put out the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put out the fire to show us that there is no power in this dunya, that there is no power in the means of this world, there is no power in anyone, illa mashallah, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it. So Allah did not put out the fire. Now imagine, put yourself in the position of the spectators, and there were thousands of them, wallahu alam, who were watching this whole spectacle. What did they see? They saw what they expected to see, which is they saw the trebuchet being fired, they saw Ibrahim alayhi salam being launched, they saw him fly through the air, and they saw him disappear into the flames. The fire did not get put out. They did not see anything other than what they expected to see. So the asbab of the dunya will not change in their outward appearance. The world will continue to see what it sees or what it thinks is happening. But the muwahid, the person who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows that this is now not the same fire that I was launched into. And Allah said, Ya qulna ya naru kuni bardan. We said, we commanded, O fire, become cold, become cool. Wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And become a means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the asbab of the dunya do not change the same, but because you have made rujoo ila Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the same sabab. The water which drowned the son of Nuh alayhi salam took Nuh alayhi salam himself to safety. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. It's the same water, the same sea. It caused somebody to perish, the people of Nuh alayhi salam. It caused them to perish. And it became a means of safety for Nuh alayhi salam. The same fire which the people saw as burning became a means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then, of course, as we know, Ibrahim alayhi salam later on walked out of that fire completely unharmed. So the lesson we get from this story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the lesson. The first one is to make rujoo ila Allah alone. Iyyaka na'bud wa iyyaka nasta'in. No partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, either in his ubudiyat or in asking for help. We ask only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Let Allah use whatever means He wants. We don't ask Allah for the means, we ask Allah for the result. Ya Allah, give me this. How you give is you up to you. I will work, I will do what I have to do, but result is in your hands. We ask only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second lesson is to then have complete and total faith and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla, that Allah will do what He has to do. And the third lesson is that it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does the thing at the time it is required. Allah does not do it 1 second before. If He wants, He can do it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally does not do something before the time is due. Whereas we like to see money in the bank, we like to see food in the fridge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you at the time you need to eat. And those who understand this, they live with great peace of mind. They don't worry. Because when the time comes, it is going to be there, so why should I worry? Somebody asked Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, and I mentioned this story so many times, but I love to tell this story. Someone asked Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, they said, why is it that you are so content? There's so much of peace on your face, in so much nur in your face, you're so content. How is it possible? So Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said 4 things. He said the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me to worship Him, so I worship Him. That's my job. Allah created me to worship Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So he said, Allah created me to worship Him, so I worship Him. He said, second thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to feed me, so I leave that to Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the same surah, in Surah Az-Zariyat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to feed me, and He will feed me. I said, third thing is that I am ashamed to commit any sin because I know that Allah is watching. So how can I commit a sin when I know real time Allah is watching me doing this? And as I said, the fourth thing is that I know one day I have to stand before Allah. So I prepare for that day. I do my best to try to get myself ready for this day. And that is the lesson from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give us the ability to judge the priorities in our lives and to deal with those priorities in the order that they are priorities, which is deal with those things which are most important and then deal with the others which are not so important. And then in that context, the single most critical priority of life is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with me. No matter what else happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave this as a great mystery, because many times people say, and they say it in a different context, but I'm saying many times people say, we don't know what about this person pleases Allah. Now that is true in the context of we don't know the details of somebody's life. But if somebody thinks that we don't know what pleases Allah, that is nonsense, because we know what pleases Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly what pleases Him, and He told us very clearly what does not please Him. So there is no need to live in any great mystery to say, I don't know what pleases Allah. Of course you know what pleases Allah, because Allah told us that. And therefore we need to focus on those things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and similarly focus on those things that do not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not do what does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what anyone else thinks. That is the secret of success. Forget about the world. Concentrate on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, automatically the world will be pleased with you. It's just the route of getting to that. If you get involved in trying to please the world, then you will please neither the world nor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will be offended with this and the world will never be pleased, we know this. But if we focus on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically the world becomes pleased with us. And that is what I remind myself and you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to prioritize our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to focus on that which is important, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.